I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome back to another episode of Fight Like a Girl. It's just little old me today because Lottie is, I was going to say overseas, but she's currently, I guess she's overseas. She's traveling back from the US currently. So you guys have me, lucky you. I do apologize for my nasally tones though, because like the rest of the country, I feel like I've literally had the flu for like a month. Probably longer, actually. So soz about that. But you're not going to have to listen to my voice for the entire episode because guess what? We are back with part two of the dating funnel. And before we get stuck into the episode, I do just want to say that you guys were absolutely killing me with your messages after listening to part one of this episode. I really just have no words because it just feels like everyone is just getting a real kick out of our dating misfortunes, which is fine. It's cool. As long as somebody's getting the laugh out of it, that's all that matters. But in all seriousness, we do really love all of the feedback that you guys provide after each of the episodes. And you know what? Keep it coming. We also love any topic suggestions because we want to make sure that we're pumping out content that you guys actually want to listen to. So keep on sliding into those DMs and I'm going to stop torturing you with this blocked nose now. So let's get into the episode.
I want the unicorn I signed up for. Interesting. Segue there, Rav. Have either of you ever been catfished like that? Like, I've definitely been vibe fished. Like, I matched with this guy on, I have a very specific type. And if you're a musician in Melbourne's inner north, you're it, basically. But I got, vibe fished by this guy. Like, his profile, like, he looked like my kind of type. I get there and I'm like, nah, absolutely not. Like, you are. There's just no way that this would work. Like, you are a bit of a homebody. You absolutely just, you know, he has like one social outing a week, that sort of thing, and just wasn't my kind of type, but like gave off this, like, it was like somebody else wrote his dating profile for him.
I was about to ask you that. Like, how did you get to the point of actually meeting up with him if there was no vibe on the app?
Well, obviously my qualification process wasn't as stringent as it should have been.
You should have asked better discovery questions.
I know. I got happy ears. What can I say? I think I was just hopeful. Like, I think that obviously, like, communication is key in a job like ours. So you have to be like, you have to have really well written communication. Obviously, you have to be able to communicate verbally quite well. So I was just like, well, maybe like that's just not who he is. Like, I've gone on dates with guys who I've had a fucking cracker of a time with who are fucking woeful at texting. Don't even know how to use like punctuation. So yeah, I just again, gave him the benefit of the doubt, and then it was just mainly doubt.
What did you do as your first date?
Went to the pickup pub. It's just my lucky pub. And it wasn't lucky that night.
I think this is why your first date has to be something that's low risk because of that reason. Like,
yeah.
I can't do first dates as dinners.
Nah.
We just got drunk. There was no dinner. I'd never eaten my first date.
I used to, before I got married and everything, the dates that I was going on then weirdly all happened to be dinner dates. Like, I was younger then, and it's funny how you're like, the way that you date just morphs over the years. So when I was younger, I thought dating meant you had to go out to dinner and drinks and blah, 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 like the full shebang. And anyone who didn't want to do that, I was instantly writing them off. Whereas now it's the other way around. And if somebody who wants to go to dinner, usually I'm like, nah, don't want to. Going out for drinks is, you know, it's a good vibe check thing to do. It's low commitment. You don't have to be there for that long. And that's what got me out of a situation like that once. I haven't been really, I would say, catfished. Like, it's like I said, it's always been the same person. You can tell it's them, just like maybe 10 years ago. But yeah. I fucking get hype-fished all the time.
Oh, yeah. I feel like this is really common.
Firstly, if it's an app where you don't have to have your height, that's on me, right? Like, I'm taking the risk. I'm trying to use, like, I'm trying to eyeball your photo to see if you're going to be taller than me. And if I fuck that up, that's on me. However, on apps like Bumble and Hinge, like, you put your height on there. So if you're telling me that you're 5'10" and you're standing there and you're shorter than me, one of us is lying and it's not me.
Yeah, I'm only 5'4", but I went on a date with a guy who said that he was 5'10" recently and, like, didn't have to bend down to kiss me. And I was like, oh, yeah, because I'm not wearing heels. So, yeah, I feel like it happens all the time. But then, like, you read all the profiles where guys are like, I'm 6'3", if any of that matters. I was going to say, I did see one recently that made me laugh. I was like, this is very, very good. But this guy was like, you know, 6', whatever, and then just wrote after it, penis dimensions. I was like, look, I will absolutely pay that, because everybody is always just like, and it was on, you know, the straight people's hookup app. I think that, yeah, people are always just like, oh, you know, height matters and that sort of stuff. And I just kind of like the play on that. But Imdad, have you ever been catfished?
No, but similar to Ravs, I think you can tell when someone hasn't updated their profile in maybe 5 or 6 years. And you're a bit like, oh, come on, man. And I think the disservice that people put themselves in is, like, if you're at the discovery point where you're going, hey, I want to have a first date, you've done a lot of hard work for someone to go, I'm going to give you a little bit of my time,
yeah,
and hang out with you. To undo that with something as trivial as your profile photos by not putting something that's up to date, like, all of that hard work is going to go straight out the window soon as you make visual eye contact with that person. Yeah. And I just go, what the fuck? Like, the height thing, right? You can't hide that. So if I was like, hey, I'm 7', and then I rocked up and people are like, hey, you obviously lied to me. The first thing people are going to say is like, hey, you've lied to me. That's the first impression I have of you. What else have you lied about in your profile? So I think, like, soon as you talk shit, don't expect a second date. Like, don't even expect that date to even fucking finish on time. You may as well pack up your things and just leave and just go, I'm sorry, I'm not going to waste my time. I've got other places to be.
That date's absolutely getting an emergency phone call from their best friend saying that they need to go home.
Yeah, I think, you know what, we should normalize that shit to just be like, you know what, man, like, you lied. I'm done.
It's so hard to get out of those situations. So, like, I had an incident happen to me recently where I got age fished, and I was so, so offended, because to your point, Imdad, like, it's something that you can't, firstly, that you shouldn't be lying about. Secondly, somebody's going to eventually find out. But it just feels so misleading, because when you are presenting yourself on an app and you're putting things on the app that describe who you are as a person and things like your height or your age, they're facts. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, I like this game, maybe I'll change my mind next week. Sure. That's something that's fluid. Your age is your age and your height is your height. You get to a certain point where you're not going to grow any taller. I'm sorry to break it to you. And, you know, you're not fucking in Harry Potter. You're going to continue to get older. And this guy rocks up. So he, on his profile, said he was like 30. I think he said he was 35 or 36, right? And I thought from his profile that he looked a little older, but I was like, you know, sometimes, like, depending on what kind of line of work people are in, like, I get it, they might be in the sun a lot. He was a firefighter, so I was like, maybe he's just had a hard life. So, you know, I like a weathered man. I'm not going to lie. I like it when men look weathered. So I was just like, all right, cool. We're going to go with this. And I get to the date. Firstly, he also, this is where I should have qualified him out before I met him. He also was making comments about my lips. He saw my photos and he goes, are your lips real? Or, like, I've had filler before. Both of you know I'm not opposed to a little jab in the face every now and then, but I haven't for a very long time, right? So I don't know if what my lips are right now is me or if it's still the filler. But anyway, I wasn't going to lie about it. He asked me and I was like, yeah, like I do get filler sometimes. And then he just goes, okay. And I was like, not the answer you were looking for?
Is this the guy that said that kissing women with fillers makes him jittery?
Yes.
God, I love that guy.
That was his response. He goes,
I love it.
Like he apparently has had some experience with girls who've had filler and their lips felt really gross or hard or something like that. Look, I don't know. To me, it just sounded like, you know what? Women's bodies, don't talk about them. Like, I'll do what I want with my body at the end of the day. So don't tell me what to do. That really rubbed me up the wrong way. And I will have you know, my lips are fucking great. I always get compliments on my lips from the men that I kiss. I'm just going to throw that out there. So fuck you. Moving right along, I get to the date. And then this guy, we've been hanging out now for about maybe two-ish hours. He told me a story about his cousin. And somehow age came into the equation. And I was like, oh, like how old is your cousin? And he goes, oh, he's like 33 or something. And I was like, oh, so he's not that much younger than you because you're like 35, right? And he's just like, nah. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? How old are you? He's like, I'm actually 43.
8 years.
I was gobsmacked. I was just like, so you lied? And he's just like, yeah. And you could tell he was getting nervous because, like, he started sipping his drink more. And I was like,
that's the beauty of being a salesperson on these when you go on these dates, because like you like train to read people's like body language and their cues, so you know when people are nervous. You're like,
yeah,
you like their eye movements and stuff. Yeah,
he was sweating it because I just kept probing and probing. I was like, so you lied? And he's just like, yeah. And I was like, why would you lie about something like your age? And then he's just like, well, you know, people have their filters set to like 40 normally. So I just don't get a bunch of people, or I just get a bunch of single mums.
Hey, single mums are hot, man.
They know how to get shit done. They have a quick agenda. They're in, they're out.
Exactly. And I was just like, so you're trying to rot the system. I was just like, honestly, in shock that this man was sitting in front of me saying these things. So I ended the date pretty swiftly after that. And this man had the audacity to text me for a second date.
What did he say in the text?
Let me find
it. Get it up.
Do you actually
read it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
The thing that always amazes me is the balls that guys have. Knowing that a date has nosedived heavily, the plane has burst into flames before it hit the ground, and then just gone, they've come out of the flames and covered in soot and gone, do you want to do that again?
Yeah.
It's just fucking insane to me.
So we ended up meeting up on a Tuesday, and then he sends me a message on the Thursday and he goes, how's your weekend looking? And I wrote a pretty like short reply back. I was like, pretty busy at the moment. What about you? And then he goes, ah, cool. Well, let me know when you'd like to go out again.
Did you have red receipts on?
This is WhatsApp. So yes, I wrote back. So I had fun the other night, but I've been thinking about the age thing, and I just wanted to be honest with you about how it's sitting with me. I guess it's hard for me to relate to having to lower my age to target a certain age group of people that I'm interested in. And to be honest, your age actually doesn't bother me at all, but it's the lying around it that didn't sit right with me. And I won't read the rest of it because that's, you know, the general gist of the message. But I think what really struck me as a huge deal breaker in that situation was that he told me a story that led to a follow-up question about age. If he wouldn't have told me that story, how long would I have continued to see this guy before I realized that he was actually 8 years older than he said he was? Mm. He was not forthcoming about it at all. And that's what I said in the message. Mm. Like the last part of the message was just, you know, number one, you lied. It's the principle of lying. And number two, you weren't forthcoming about this. Like I had to ask a question that led you into that Otherwise, how long would this have gone on for before you told me? And he never messaged me back?
That's a good question. So this is something a lot of women have told me, based on your experiences as a percentage, how much of that conversation on the first date is the guy just talking and the guy not wanting to know anything about you?
I would say a majority of the time. I feel like most of the time, look, I don't know if this is just because people do just generally like talking about themselves, but I'm very perceptive to people not asking things back. So, you know, if I'm putting in the effort to ask a question, you know, it's kind of weird to me if after you've answered the question, if you're not making an effort to ask me something back. It doesn't have to be the same thing. Like, you know, even if you did ask the same thing, I wouldn't even be mad about that, right? Like, it shows that you're still trying. It's not in everyone's DNA to just be like a great conversationalist, whatever. But it's the lack of effort that really the thing that breaks the camel's back in that situation. What about you, Lonnie? Yeah. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. Like, there's nothing worse than when you feel like you're interrogating somebody and it's just like a forward conversation where you're just like peppering them with questions because they don't know how to ask, or like they're not using their active listening skills to listen to what you're saying to them. And I am someone who has like wide and varying interests, and, you know, I do a lot with my life and my time. And if you can't like probe me or ask me questions about that when I'm doing the same for you, like it's an absolute like hard no for me.
Fucking PSA, guys, ask fucking questions. And like the low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit. Hey, Rav, have you ever gone traveling? Yeah, I went traveling. I did this, this, and this. Oh, where have you gone traveling as well? And that's low-hanging fruit. Just ask the same question back, right? The amount of women I've spoken to who just go, I went on this date, how did it go? He didn't ask me any questions. It was just that person talking. And it just blows my mind, because when we talk about, I think the next one about this is the demo, what's going to get you into that demo, and from my experience anyway, has always been to get to anything beyond the first date is women generally like to feel safe, and they want to feel as if this person gives a shit about me. They've asked questions. Yep. They try to really get under the hood, because as soon as you cut that part off, I suspect – women aren't stupid, and they're like, this guy just has an objective in mind, wants to get to that objective, and once that's ticked off, he'll fuck off. But if someone's really interested, that objective then becomes, hey, they really want to get to know me. It fascinates me that guys still haven't picked that up yet.
Well, assuming that, you know, your date has done a good job and has asked very good questions, and let's assume you've been on a few good dates, getting to the juicy part, which is the demo.
Ooh, what's the demo, Rav? Tell me, I don't know.
The demo could be a variety of things. I think for the three of us, it's probably just good old bonking.
Okay, could a demo also include a kiss?
No, if you don't kiss on the first date, I'm not shagging you. That's it.
I would probably agree with Lottie. I think if there's not a kiss on the first date, I generally assume that the person's not interested in me.
Okay. And is demo also including like, you know, the oral stuff, like anything to do in that sexual realm?
Yes, yes. The demo is absolutely, it's anything that is classed as sex has the word sex after it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like anything but kissing.
Okay.
It could also be meeting friends. This is actually probably a great question. What's your definition of the demo, Imdad?
No, I think that makes sense. I do like the idea of meeting the friends, because I think that's a very, very good demo.
Yeah.
High pressure. Like, I've been in situations where I've met friends and I've gone, oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
However, I feel like when you're meeting friends, you might be further down the track of your potential relationship with them. I'm assuming you've probably slept with them before you've introduced them to some of your mates potentially. But I think that's very interesting, because I think that would mean more to me than the actual sex. So if the sex was average, but my mates fucking loved you and like the banter was great and we had a really good time, then I was like, this could sway me. If the sex was amazing and my friends were like, I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Do you think it's because, like, I think I have had really mediocre sex the first time with someone and then gone on to have, like, mind-blowingly incredible sex with them afterwards. Like, I feel like the first time you have sex, like, unless, like, you know, you just get each other from the get-go, I think that there is a little bit of, you know, like the pressure's on and you're sort of navigating your way around each other's bodies and what you're interested in and things like that. But if your mates don't like them, like fuck that. Like you're, I mean, you don't want to spend time with your friends and be in a relationship with that person. It's just going to be awful. Like I just feel like that sexual connection is something that you can build on. But if your friends don't like them, it's done.
At what point would you write it off though? Like, would you give it a couple of goes or if it's.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. I'll give it a couple of goes. Cause I think just the same with sex and meeting up friends, right? Like some you're nervous, you're not sure if you can be yourself. You know, you're getting to meet, but like my group of friends is quite big. And so bringing someone into that environment can be really fucking daunting, right? And you know, walking in going, I really hope this group of people like me, because if they don't, I could be fucked here. I get it. But if over a period of time, if my mates are like, hey, like if they're honest with you and they're like, we don't vibe with this person, that's massive for me. You don't want weird tension between two loves of your life, which is your mates and the actual love of your life. That's kind of shit. So I think the sex component to what you've just said, Lottie, is if it's average and they love your friends, you can build on that, right? You can build on trust. Mm. You can open the communication barriers, all that sort of shit. I think you can sort that out. I think it's far more difficult in this point of the sales cycle to try and build, hey, like, I want you to like my friends and vice versa. I don't even know how you solve that, if I'm perfectly honest.
I think we're at an age too where, I mean, we're all in our early to mid-30s where you don't have time for that bullshit. Like my friends are my life. Like they come first. And if you don't like them or they don't like you, and generally speaking, they are very good reads on people and situations, then I'm sorry. Like I'm not going to pick you, random internet stranger who, you know, gives amazing head. I'm not going to pick you over them. Sorry. Like, there's a million other people I can go and try to have that connection with, but I'm not putting you first.
Is that the same for you, Rav?
Yeah, I would say the same. It never used to be fun. Like I'm going to admit that for me, I have probably been pretty lucky in the sense that I usually have really good sexual chemistry with people like straight off the bat. I think they wouldn't get to the demo stage if I didn't have that sort of sexual chemistry at the dates or like even after a first kiss. I think there's a lot that you can tell just from kissing somebody as well. But having said that, I have been in a situation where the sex wasn't great, but communication really turned that around. And that's definitely changed my perception on like not writing somebody off just if the sexual chemistry isn't there straight off the bat. I personally haven't had a situation where I haven't had my friends approve of someone. But having said that, I think with my ex, like I found out after we sort of broke up that a lot of my friends did have opinions of him that they just didn't share with me. So I think, you know, for any friends that are listening here as well, if the trust is there, and I think if your class is a close friend, it should be, you probably should find a way to communicate that to your friend, because like Lottie has said, like Imdad has said, you know, our friends play a pivotal role in our lives. And I think it's really important for them to be transparent with us when they do get introduced to people that they feel like may not be the best match for us. You know, like obviously you can't force people to do something, so you can't force us out of relationships. But I think the older we get, the more open we are to hearing people's perspectives and opinions on things like this, because yeah, your friends are kind of there forever. Relationships tend to fall off, and it does take a little bit to find that one that's going to stick it through as long as your friends typically tend to.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get dirty then. I think that's where I really want to get. I'm sure everyone else wants to hear it, but from a sexy time perspective, where would you go? We need to end the demonstration here.
Okay. I've got a great one for this.
Hit me.
So for me, it's jackhammering.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Oh,
like fucking hard. Hell.
Like absolute hard yes, but in the yes that means I absolutely agree with Rav. Like if you think that is appropriate.
Beyond the age of 18, if you are not an 18-year-old just, you know, discovered Pornhub, there is no excuse for you to be throwing that thing around like that.
Can I ask a question though? As a dude, I don't think I've ever jackhammered. Only because my hips aren't what they used to be. But in your experiences, how recently have you experienced jacking? Because I just want to get an idea of age, right? Like I can imagine if someone's 18, maybe early 20s, they might just have absolutely no idea what they're doing yet. If it's still happening in the 30s, I don't know. We need to put something out on Crime Stoppers or some shit because that's not okay.
Yeah, last year and the guy was 31.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
If you say like 36 or 37, that'll do me. I'm ending the call.
For me, it was this year and the guy was like 30 or 31. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. I've never been jackhammered on.
No, he wasn't. Right? Holy shit. What? He was 38. He was 38.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm leaving this conversation.
I think this is where porn kind of has a lot to answer for, though. Like, I think that men think that that's what women want.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, that's from a female perspective anyway. What about you, Imdad?
I do have one question.
I'm so terrified of these questions.
Two things I need answered is, what's that feeling? Is it like, ow, like this hurts? And B, like what is happening in your brain where you're just like do you just go, okay, I need to somehow slow this person down, or you just hope he finishes real quick, or like do you say something? Like is there anything there that just makes you go, hey, time out, bro, like you're really hurting?
I think that like in my most recent experience, I just obviously completely dissociate. And I'm like, let's just wrap this up, buddy. And I have asked previously, been like, come on, like, can you just slow it down a little bit? Like, I'm not enjoying this. But I think for some men, it's like a default. So like, you'll tell them, I don't like this, or hey, let's just slow it down. Like, let's just ease into it. They will just revert back to it. So yeah, most of the time, you just sort of like lie back and think of the country and just hope it ends soon.
Okay, PSA number two, do not fucking jackhammer, right? I can't imagine any situation where someone is jackhammering the fuck out of me and me going, this is amazing. I can't wait to do this again. Like, I just can't think of that.
I'm also in awe of just, like, the inability to read the room.
Oh, my God, I know.
To your point, like, you asked what does it feel like. It almost ends up feeling like a bit of an out-of-body experience. I'm not even kidding you. Like,
oh, my God.
I feel like for me, I'm quite a tall person, so a lot of the times these people are quite big, like they're big men. So from like a purely like power dynamic, there's not a lot you can do to stop it. I know that sounds mm-hmm. fucked, but it's like it's going to happen unless you literally say, hey, stop, and then I would like to think that most men would stop. All men should stop. I just feel like when you're in that moment sometimes, it's really hard to say that, and you're kind of just like, because sometimes you just can't believe that it's happening. Like for me, when it's happened, I think I go into a little bit of shock because I'm just like, I can't believe that this is actually happening and that somebody would think that this is meant to be good.
Mm.
And then I'm just hoping that it just finishes really quick. And I've communicated this back to somebody before. So the person that I was talking about, I was actually very interested in dating this person longer term. And I actually said to them afterwards, not straight away, but like in a conversation a couple of days later, I provided some like constructive feedback. And his response was, well, that's just how I like to have sex.
Get fucked. Are you serious?
Yep.
And like, if you don't have the wherewithal, especially as a 38-year-old man, to A, take on constructive feedback and like want to please your lover, like there's nothing greater than bringing pleasure to another person. What are you in it? Like, obviously you're in it because you're a fucking narcissist who just wants to get off. But like, oh, it's just the mind boggles. So we've done the demo, or the dance rather, kind of been on a few dates or a few hookups. Some feelings may be developing. So we're at the review and negotiation stage. Are we the right fit for each other? So what conversations are we having? Like, what are we going through at this stage, guys?
Probably the biggest question to ask at this stage is more, when are we having this conversation? I feel like, I don't know if men feel this way, but I know for me being a hetero woman, the question that pops into my mind is always, usually, you know, the everything that we've spoken about up until this point can either happen very quickly or it can happen very slowly. But once it's happened, when are you having that conversation with the other person to say, hey, what are we doing here? Where is this going? Are we going to define it? So for me, I don't know what the answer to that is, because I think when you're younger, everyone has these weird like milestones in their mind where it's like, don't have sex until the third date or whatever it might be. Or I was listening to a podcast today where somebody said, if you've been seeing each other for a month and you haven't had the conversation, like, what are you doing? But how do you know when is the right time?
And I mean, like, seeing someone for a month might be we went on a first date and then I went overseas for 3 weeks and then came back and had another date. Like, I think for me, it's, you know, like the vibe is there, like you know, like there's variety in like what it is you're doing with each other as well. Like it's pretty easy to define like what, you know, just like a casual hookup ongoing sort of situation is versus like this could be potentially be something serious. I think it's when you do start developing those feelings and you're like, okay, I'm at risk of being hurt here if I don't have this open conversation, or you know, like you're thinking to yourself, okay, yep, like I'm ready to delete my profile off the apps, or I don't want you to be seeing other people, those sorts of things. I think that it is something that is quite organic. I think you're right. Like, I don't think that there is the structure around it that it was when we were kids. Like, you know, you read Girlfriend in Dolly magazine and you're right. Like, don't shag on the first date or make him wait, or, you know, wait 3 days before you call them and all that sort of bullshit. But I think it's when it feels organic. And I think that there's also a vibe that you're feeling as well. Like I said before, like you're pretty, you know, you're able to differentiate like what a situation is for one from the other. But if you feel yourself getting a little bit more sucked in, that you're like contemplating what it is you want, and obviously like you're fantasizing about what dress you're going to wear down the aisle, that's probably when you want to have that conversation.
What about you, Imdad?
So this can be quite a complex one, because I think in the dating world, we're talking to maybe, let's just say, probably at a bare minimum, maybe two or three people at any one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my rule of thumb has always been, and it's that moment when you start to go, I'm putting all my energy into this person. I get excited by this person, and we have very open communications. We might send each other good morning texts or good night texts, or we talk quite regularly. And I think once you start to realize that you don't really want to put your energy anywhere else, I've always been a very big believer in just that open communication. You can throw it down and be like, hey, look, I'm just letting you know, I don't feel like talking to other people right now. Like, and how you respond to that is completely up to you. So if you're like, oh yeah, cool, man, like, I'm on the same page, that's totally cool with me. Or if someone's like, yeah, I'm still dating as well, I'm still talking to maybe two or three people, but you're the one that I'm still putting a lot of my energy into. I'm not ready to make this exclusive yet, but that's just where I'm at. I think it's always good to have those sense checks, like, hey, where are we at? And I don't think there should be a time limit. I think anytime someone says, oh, it's been a month, you have to do this. I think if you hit a year though, you should probably be going, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
But I think if you have a month and you're like, oh my God, we've been dating for a month, like, settle the fuck down, all right? Because the one thing I've noticed in my past relationships and talking to other people is that when you don't have this conversation, no one has any idea what the fuck is going on.
Mm.
And then someone's like hooking up with someone else, and then you're like, oh, did you hook up with someone else? I thought we were something. And it's like, well, we never had a conversation, so
yeah,
I'm just assuming we're dating. Remove all of the doubt and just be open, and you'll avoid a lot of hurt.
I think you hit the nail on the head, and that was probably the most succinct and eloquent answer to that question, and one that I would like you to write down and text me so that I can put it in my notes folder about – my notes folder on my phone that is progressing this relationship forward. I think that that is 100% correct.
Yeah. I think also just to add to from a female perspective to what you said, Imdad, like, completely agree with what Lottie said. And I think, you know, this is probably a PSA to women. You need to embrace the risk, because I think what a lot of women are really scared of doing is asking that question because of the answer that they're going to get. And I don't know if men are the same, but I know as a woman who's been in that position before, I have been on different pages to somebody because I was too afraid to ask that question. And I almost think if you're too afraid to ask the question, that's kind of an answer in itself. You probably already know what the answer is going to be.
100% agree with you on that one, Rav. And I think, like, to your point as well, like, I know who you're talking about in that specific scenario. I think that, you know, if you had asked that question or qualified, you know, what the situation was at that, like, earlier in the process, you know, like, you've got more clarification and you can put your energy where you need to put your energy and where you deserve to put your energy, rather than living in this, like, mind fuckery of doubt, yeah, where you're, like, psychoanalyzing everything they do and, like, reading through texts and being like, oh, you know, is this something? Is this not something? I'm so scared of, like, being told no. I think that if you just rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
And have that conversation like sooner, or when you are, like, when those feelings start to bubble up, you kind of just, like, you're, you know, eliminating any sort of, or mitigating any sort of additional hurt or unnecessary hurt that you can be bringing on yourself. And I hate to sort of, I guess, end that segment on, I guess, a bit of a lower note, but what happens after this?
Well, I think everything that we just spoke about, it pretty much sums up the closed, lost deal, right? If it's not, conversation hasn't gone the way that you wanted it to, you've been given an answer that you probably weren't wanting. I think, you know, we close that chapter and we move on. Just quickly before we move on to the last sort of stage in our dating process, if you are putting somebody, you're closing that chapter essentially, do you guys put them on the back burner if you're the person? Because I think if you're the person that's ending that situation, you kind of hold a bit of power if you know that that person wanted a little bit more. And be honest, have you both ever, you know, when you've sort of let somebody down, kept them on the back burner a little bit just in case?
No. I have let people down softly, and much to your frustration, Rav, where you've been like, no, you're letting this person know that there is potential. Like, when I say something like, you know, I'm busy at the moment, or I just don't have the time to be focusing on this, but in my heart of hearts, I know that I'm not going to come back to that.
I'm pretty open. I'll go, I've met someone, so I'm kind of putting all my energy into this person. So I'm jumping off these apps, or if I know that, you know, we've basically been speaking because we're after a relationship, I'll totally be like, yeah, cool. You're not going to hear from me because of this. So, and hopefully this might be just the last point, but I think for, like, the demo component and the review component, I think there are sometimes situations where people will put you in these specific scenarios that will make you want to accelerate the negotiation review process. So, for example, I've had mates who have done this and I've been very annoyed at them, is that they will introduce their partner to their friends or their family, mingle with them. And they'll be like, oh, okay, things are pretty serious. And they're like, no, we're not serious at all. And then I was like, look, do whatever the fuck you want in your relationship. That's totally up to you. However, if you're putting up very clear signals that you mean more to me than just the average person on the street, and I'm introducing you into my sacred world of my friends and my family, that sends a really strong signal to someone.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that and you're then shocked all of a sudden that someone's like, hey, what are we? That, like, you've got to have a little bit more EQ than that, right? And I see a lot of people do that. And I think it probably happens to women more than men, I'm assuming. I've certainly spoken to a lot of women who are like, yeah, I've met his friends and his family and we go on trips together and all that. I'll be like, oh, okay, cool. This is nice. They're like, yeah. But then I'll speak to the guy. I'm like, yeah, things are going pretty good, eh? And they're like, yeah, no, we're just still seeing each other. I'm like, mate, you fucked up because you're throwing some heavy signals down.
I've definitely heard multiple stories from my wider friendship group of, like, girls going away on, like, long weekends with guys they've been seeing and then, like, getting ghosted and things like that. Like, it's it's fraught with danger and just shitty behavior.
Yeah, I think once that chapter is closed, let's just leave it closed and move right along. So on the flip side of that, let's say everything's gone well, you've moved your dating deal into closed one status. Congratulations, you're in a relationship. Pretty self-explanatory. You make us sick. Enjoy all your missionary sex and brunches where you look at your phones and you don't speak to each other. God, I love that. I love being like on a first date and you just see someone who's been together for ages and it's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just going to revel in the first date glory for a little while.
But I'd say a single thing to each other. No one's talking.
And yeah, it's them. Fucked.
That's something I'd never want.
I know. Like, you know that like one person's like seething on the inside being like, oh, I'm going to have to go home and do the vacuuming. And, oh, that other person hasn't even like done their domestic chores for this week, and then the other person's like zoned out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to unpack that any further, but it's like obviously none of us have moved any of our prospects into that stage. We're still actively in the lead gen and qualification stages, I think.
We are.
Oh, and demo. We love to demo.
Oh, God, do we love to demo? I'm demoing to all of Brunswick at some stage.
Lottie, is that you hinting at a potential OnlyFans dropping soon?
Oh, damn. Hey, sign me up. I'll fucking sign up to that immediately.
Imdad, take me on a drink. Listen,
just, first, no, you don't want money first? All right, fair enough. I will take you on a drink.
I'm a fierce, independent woman. I don't need your cash. So this has been a pretty big episode, and I think we've covered a lot of ground. And obviously, I hope my parents never listen to this one. But anyway, I'd love to, well, we would love to hear whether or not this resonates to anybody listening. I think Rav and myself and Imdad, a lot of our friends work in the same industry, so we talk about this analogy quite a lot. But would love to hear if anybody else has sort of had the same experience. Obviously, you can slide into any of our DMs. Probably not Imdad's because it sounds like he's got quite a few to get through. But mine and Rav's are open. So, yeah, would love to hear from you guys. Also, did we just make an entire podcast episode where we detailed all of our preferences?
Yeah.
Potential matches.
We did.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm sending this to everybody I match with on all of the apps, including Instagram.
Save a lot of time. I think that's a great idea.
Well, that's a really smart idea, actually. Yeah. That's great. And if they still jackhammer, then you're like, you're a fucking moron.
You didn't listen to it, did you? You lied to me.
We need to find the timestamp of when we talk about that and get them to listen to that section specifically.
Yes. And I think you can, like, I know that there is software that you can do this with, but I think, like, if you, like, timestamp it and then, like, send them that little snippet, be like, so I want to jackhammer through this sales process as quickly as I can. Here are some key points for you to take note of.
Love it. And I hope that you all do the same. So please, when you're going through your dating processes, your individual processes, feel free to share this episode around with all your prospects just to save yourself some time.
100%.
And on that note, peace out. Love you lots. Chat to you next week. Bye.
Bye. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.